The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Louis Prevost has already broken the news to Émilie Latouche concerning his family in Corsica. Émilie is much more interested in the fact that his uncle has disinherited him. She declines to put off the soiree to which she and Louis were invited that night. We find Émilie Latouche in a beautiful gown of pale green brocade, talking to Captain Chateau Renaud in a small anteroom off the music room, where soon they would hear Franz Liszt at the pianoforte.
You're a very unusual young woman.
You're a most unusual man.
But why?
You're outspoken too.
Well, if I admire, why not speak of it? You're the loveliest girl I have ever met.
Monsieur la Capitaine.
And what is more, you know it.
But how should I know?
I saw you when you came into the room. Half a dozen young rakes were round you in an instant.
But I am betrothed.
Betrothed?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
That makes it much more difficult, Captain Renault.
Yes, much more difficult. You mean...
The air is full of insinuations, is it not? Anyhow, Captain, forget that I have been so bold. If my mamma and papa could hear me now.
Why have you been so outspoken with me, seeing that we've only just met?
Because, well, when frankness meets frankness.
In spite of a betrothal?
In spite of anything, monsieur. I think perhaps, though, we should get to know each other better. I might even let you sit next to me when Franz Liszt plays his compositions tonight.
That would be a great honor.
And now, why botheration?
Oh? What's the matter?
Why, look, it is my cousin Annette coming towards us. It was she, monsieur, who was so anxious to meet you, not I.
Yes, so you told me.
And now I must introduce you as I promised. What a pity. I was hoping to keep you to myself.
Judging from the look of the young lady, I don't think you will be disappointed, mademoiselle.
Yes, I've been looking for you everywhere. Annette, this is Captain Chateau Renaud. This is my cousin, Annette Plantin.
Sure.
How do you do? I was about to bring the captain to the other room to look for you, Annette. I was most anxious for him to meet you. His tales of the sea are most interesting.
And how do you know?
Well, they should be, monsieur. After all, scandal says that you own 6 ships, and that they go into every port of the world.
Scandal is right. But scandal would be much more noisome if scandal knew how those ships made the money for me.
Monsieur, don't tell me you're a contrabandist. Don't tell me you're a smuggler.
A smuggler? That's rich, a smuggler.
Émilie. Your papa has been looking everywhere for you. I think perhaps...
Papa! Oh, Monsieur Le Capitaine, I must go. Perhaps later we can continue our talk.
Have you forgotten? You promised to sit next to me at the recital.
Of course. Excuse me, Monsieur.
Yes, certainly.
And perhaps we will meet you later, Monsieur Le Capitaine.
Yes, perhaps. Au revoir, mademoiselle.
Oh, isn't he wonderful, Émilie?
Very rugged. And I like rugged men.
Émilie, it is not for you to talk in this way.
Why not?
You are betrothed. Oh, Émilie, you are clever.
Am I?
Yes. To think that out of all this gathering here, you went out of your way to be introduced to the Captain Chateau Renaud so that you could introduce him to me. There's been talk about him even tonight here. What you said was very daring.
What do you mean?
I'm told that he is so fabulously rich because one of his ships is indeed engaged in smuggling.
That is what I like about Captain Chateau Renaud. He is so different to the dandies and the fops one meets in this place. He is exciting.
Émilie, if Louis Prevost could hear you now.
Louis Prevost? Poor Louis.
Well, Louis... I hope we'll make it in good time.
Oh, I'm sorry I was so late, Pierre, but there was a great deal to do. I had to go and see Émilie.
Naturally.
And then I had to make arrangements about my clothes.
You know, I'm sorry you've broken with your uncle and aunt. Really, I am.
So am I. Uncle was a strange man, but I was fond of him in my way. As for my aunt, well, her husband's word is law. She'll have no mind about this except my uncle's mind.
Pity. A great pity. I still don't believe, though, that he'll disinherit you, Louis.
Oh, yes, he will. When my uncle issues a decree, he carries it out. I know him of old.
Oh, I feel so guilty. If I hadn't probed this secret in Corsica, you'd not be placed in this position. Why, you had the prospect of being one of the wealthiest young men in Paris. But now...
Now I've found that I'm not an orphan. There are compensations, Pierre.
But what has Amélie to say about this? You told her?
Yes.
Perhaps her father would be dubious about the marriage now.
Oh, it wouldn't matter. We're so much in love, Amélie and I, that I know nothing will stop us getting married, Pierre. Anyhow, as I told Amélie, I have means. I'm not wealthy, but I'm comfortable. I'm sure I could satisfy her father that I'd be able to care for Amélie for the rest of her life.
I'm glad, Louis. Frankly, I was worried. I know how much in love you are with Amélie Latouche, and if anything had happened in that direction...
Oh, don't give it a thought. Amélie and I understand each other. And when I've settled my affairs in Corsica, I'll come back and claim her for my own.
Meanwhile, what of Louis' family in Corsica? Madame de Franchi, her dark eyes underlined with grief, had stayed in her room most of the previous day. Then she'd sent Griffo to the valley below Mount Cyanthus to find what remained of her beloved son. Towards dusk the next day, as she stares out towards the broken peaks in the far distance, she hears the sound of a horse galloping up the track leading to the house. Griffo has returned, and Madame hurries to the front door to meet him.
I searched the valley. There's no sign of Lucien's body.
So they have denied me his body. They are not satisfied, not content with Lucien's life. They must take his body away and deny me his burial.
Oh, madame, they are cruel. They are bloodthirsty. I'm not of your family, but I've worked for your family all my life. And somewhere, somehow, madame, you will be revenged.
I am a woman, one defenseless woman. There are so many of them, Griffo. I fear that the writing is on the wall.
Madame, you must be brave.
While you have been away, Griffo, something has been puzzling me. I was so stricken when I heard the news, I forgot to question you. You say that you were awakened suddenly when the Gedici crept upon you and Lucien.
Aye, that is right, madame.
You heard a shot fired.
Aye, madame, while I was riding towards the valley. I too was thinking about that shot. Aye, it is something which I cannot understand, madame.
Nor can I. You say it was a shot fired from a distance.
That is right, madame. And had it not been for that shot, I too would be lying dead. That knife would have been in my heart before my eyes were opened.
But what does it mean? Why fire a shot and then attack? That would be a warning for you both.
Well, madame, the only conclusion I can come to is that that shot was fired accidentally by one of the Gedici. One of the Gedici, madame, who was perhaps waiting on the fringes of the forest. Aye, waiting for their murderous cousins to do their foul work.
Strange. And now they have taken the body of my son. It is torture, Griffo. I am denied the last funeral rite. It is almost too much for me to bear.
Naturally, you would be. You knew of our mission.
What happened? Father, you were successful.
Successful? Do you hear that, Pietro? Were we successful?
Well, yes. One got away, Marianne, but the other... Oh, yes. The De Franchi is ours.
It is ours? But I don't understand... You went to the valley to kill Lucien de Franchi.
Most certainly we did, Marianne. But your father's getting old. Well, perhaps it might have been the darkness which misled me. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately now, the knife did not find his heart.
Then that means...
It means, my dear Marianne, that with the last male member of the de Franchi, Our revenge will wipe out all the insults, all the cruelties, all the injustice of the last few hundred years. We have brought him here to the village.
You have brought Lucien de Franchi here? He really is alive?
Alive, yes. But unconscious. We treated him tenderly, Marianne. That is what delayed us on the treacherous mountain path. We brought him here because we shall nurse him back to health.
But I do not understand.
Quite simple. When he is himself once again, we shall flog him before all the members of our family. In other words, we shall humiliate the De Franchi before we put out the spark of life. That will be our perfect and our just revenge.
Once again, Marianne's dark eyes widen, but across her face flits an expression of... what was it? Satisfaction? Or was it fear? Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.